we're doing the whole Armor of God, and we're going to really talk about it because it is so important for us to understand what the Armor of God is fully about and why God spoke about it through Paul in the book of Ephesus when he was dealing with spiritual warfare. He was dealing with it on a level that he needed for everybody to truly understand how important is the armor of God through our battles. And it's so important that I really wanted to bring out what the kids had back there, because I really don't think we understand as a church and as individuals in church how important this is right here for us to fight the spiritual war so we can obtain victory. It was unheard of that anybody back in them days and time would enter into battle without armor on. And I apologize to those that was with me last week. I really didn't go into the full depth of it where I needed to get you to understand the importance of it. I'm a type of person that loves the movies that they do sword fights and work with armor and stuff. And it's so important for you to really grasp the concept of why God said that we need to put on this device right here. What is the purpose of this device? Why did he speak to the church of Ephesus and say it is so important for you to have this on? Why? Why? What is so important about this device? Why is this so important for us to have on? It becomes heavy sometimes, correct? Do you know that the armors that they wore back, and even the military people will tell you about the gear they got on and weighed so much, but the armor back there in them days and times wore about 200 to 300 pounds, some of the armor. It was really heavy, some of them. Some of them was lighter armor. They really didn't have the light armors till probably the time of King Arthur. They started really manifesting lighter armors. That a lot of people used to go into battle not with the full gear on. They was pick and choose what they wanted because it was so heavy for them to carry. But that's why the scripture is clearly trying to tell us to put the whole armor of God on. Because back inside wartime, you had some of them that would wear just a shield and a sword. They wouldn't. Some of them have just the headdress on, the helmets on. Some of them wouldn't even put on the preparation the shod areas on their feet. They were only carried what they felt that was the most vital part because it became too heavy for them to carry. And it felt like it restricted their movements into warfare because the armor was so heavy. But most of them always had the breastplate on it because once one cut was up in the breastplate, then that was done. Even underneath the breast, they carried what you call a chain, garment or girdle that they used to have. And it used to be set up beneath a breastplate. And it was so incredible because even where some folks got tired of wearing a shield, that they used to fight with two swords. So they was all trying to revamp this armor to suit their needs. But God really told us inside Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, or, hey, I need you to have every item that I have here upon you if you want to be able to stand. You can't pick and choose which portion of the armor that you want. I feel like teaching tonight. I mean, I didn't feel like doing it last night. Hey, look, I got my flip-flops on tonight. I came out the house. I felt comfortable tonight. But listen, you have to have all these devices on at the same time in order for the devil even to be afraid of you. And I'm so excited because he didn't say that you had to fight with this. He said just so you can be able to stand. In other words, that which we may think may weigh us down or carry us to make us fall is actually there to help us stand secure and strong. So we really need to be able to function all of these together, work together, move together. We got to have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We got to have our loins girded about with truth. We have to have the shield of faith, the word of God, and our feet got to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. So what I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about every gear, that what makes up the armor and what you got to have around you every day in order to be successful in the battle against the devil in your lives. Amen. Off of that? You sure? Because I'm getting wore down and tired of praying for folks at the altar all the time because they going through and this, that, and the other. But I thank God because I see the maturity in the people, especially on Wednesday night Bible study. You know, I see it. I see it. And I think it's because y'all getting another level of this right here. Amen. So that's what we're going to go to. We're going to go back to some of the ones that I butchered up last week in my didn't really want to be here mode last week. Ain't right, Sister Glory. The first thing he told us, and I want y'all to catch what he said. He said, let your loins, or the most important part of your body that reproduce. Listen, the loins is girded about is this area in the midsection down to where we call our reproduction area. And he said, let your loins be girded with truth. In other words, you have to have a belt of truth around you. And when he said this, the loin is a place that generates power. In other words, God's trying to tell us that straight forth, unless your loins or the area in you or the area around you that generate power is marching the power off the truth, there's no need for you to even go no further. I'm beginning to understand that truth always got a lie in our life. We play with truth too much. Truth is simply this. Listen to this, y'all. That which is real, that which is genuine, that was loyal. It is what is true in any matter under consideration. In other words, it's what it is. So I said, Lord, why are you telling us that our loins have to be girded with truth? Don't we always tell the truth? God really telling me that we really are not genuine about everything. We're not loyal to God. We wave and shift and move and here one day and not there one day. And it becomes a hindrance to God because the loins girded or the girdle or the of a belt, which is what he's telling them what we have to be in this area, is a safety mechanism. It's what men put on them and women put on them as a belt buckle to stop their what? So what happened if a man or female pants, well, not this day, but back in the days when a belt used to come in play, what was the purpose of them putting a belt on? Why? Why? Come on. Hey, come on, keep on. Why? Because it's what? It's embarrassing. There you go. So what he's saying is that if you want to always feel safe and secure and not be embarrassed, make sure you keep truth in your life always. And when you have truth in you, you won't be embarrassed that you can stand strong and you can generate power inside your truth. Isn't that incredible? Something so simple as a belt. And it also becomes, and I used to see, you ever see guys with suspenders and a belt on? But the reason why they say men do that because they want to feel what? Secure. So knowing the truth and knowing that you are generating truth every day, you are more confident in where you are in God. More confidence about moving in God. You confidence of going against the devil because you know the devil can't expose you nowhere in your life. Y'all got me. Number two, he tells you to put on the breastplate of what? A breastplate is equipment that protects your vital organ. It is the defensive armor. This is the main movement of a defense armor. It's not used for anything on the offense. It can't even be turned into an offensive weapon. This is your main defensive mechanism right here. It protects that which is vital to you. The important, your areas of where you have faults and flaws at. Are y'all with me? The key to this is the straightforward. That which is protecting is really not strong enough to be exposed. So you have to have a breastplate of righteousness. That means that every last one of y'all have faults and shortcomings that you don't want to be exposed. Because when they are exposed, they become a target for your enemy. So he said, if you don't want your mess to be exposed, I need for you to always carry a breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate of righteousness is just simply this. Listen, it's a place where you are not right, but you understand that you are in right standing because of the blood. because of Jesus Christ. You really are not sin free. But because of Jesus, he is allowing you to be sin free. You really is a mess. But because Jesus, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. You really are not that smart. But with him, you are smart as it can be. It's just you understanding that you are all things with him, and without him, you're nothing. You have to know that and walk with the pride of being in righteousness. I can't stand it when you see folks, and that's why I was trying to tell people on Sunday that you got to stop running back from the altar crying. You have to change. You have to change your demeanor, your movements, your the way you carry yourself. You got to stop walking around like this, because when you walk around with your back humped over like you're not worthy of anything that God has done for you, you'll end up being defeated. So you have to walk around with your chest stuck up high. That's why the scripture clearly told us, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may be obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. You have to start being proud of your mess and your success. Y'all don't understand. Because all things work together for the good of them that love Jesus Christ and are called according to the purpose. See, some of y'all are too ashamed of the mess that you've been through. We overcome by the words of our testimony. Some of y'all ain't even share testimony with anybody. And that's why the breastplate of righteousness is not staying on you. You remember David? David would not take on Saul's breastplate because Saul's breastplate was not his. David rather stood up before Goliath without one on because that was who he was. He spoke the truth. And he realized that God would have to be his breastplate because he did not earn his. Y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you? You have to know that God has placed you back in right standing. Don't make a difference how much you have done in your past. If you don't walk around with a mentality that I'm okay and your heart don't know that, you'll never win your battle. You'll always run. And the great part about the breastplate of righteousness, when you turn around, this one, you know, this one don't have it, so I don't want to show it around. But on the back side of a breastplate, do y'all know, guess what? There's no armor. So if you run, you're exposed. So why are we walking around running from the devil? Because you don't know you're in right standing. You don't know that he justified you. You don't know he done forgave you for all the mess that you done. So you cannot allow the enemy to continue on to mess with you and tell you that God didn't forgive you for this, God didn't forgive you for that, God didn't, because it's a lie. Amen? You have to know in your heart, as all the blood pumps through your veins, that God done all that he said he was going to do, and he's not going to do anymore for you. How many of y'all know that? Yeah. That's what I love about him. We keep on begging and pleading God, but God done already done it all over 2,000 years ago. Our problem is we can't accept it. Let's go. Number three.
Ephesians 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Okay, the next part of the armor is feet. And what they did, they put like these shoes or metal buckles on it to protect the feet. And because if your feet was gone, you would not be able to walk and stand up strong. Now listen what he told you how you need to walk. Watch what he said. He said you have to walk with your feet shod with the what?
Preparation.
Hold on. You have to be fully prepared to speak Jesus Christ and the gospel of peace to everybody. Every time you go everywhere, if you really want to make the devil mad and get the devil scared when you come, start speaking about peace to people. Start speaking about how Jesus Christ can bring peace in your home. Start speaking peace to everybody else. You know what irritates me more with church folks? More church folks speak more negative than anybody else I've ever seen. I was around a person one day, and they said, you know what, and I know what they were saying, you has a different aura about you. You ever heard people say that? They don't know how to say it in the right way. There's something about you. it's just a different vibe I get from you. You ever heard folks talk to you like that? In other words, it's our responsibility to always present, prepare ourselves wherever we go to present peace, the good news of peace. If we cannot walk from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to bed at night and present peace constantly, there is a serious problem. So what's happening is, if you're not presenting peace, then you walk in darkness. Two men can't walk together unless they agree. So what he's trying to tell you, you're either going to do one or the other. You're going to walk in peace or likeness or like-mindedness or in goodness, or you're going to walk in darkness. And when you're walking in darkness, that means simply that you're doing the work of the devil. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's either one or two things that you're going to do tomorrow. Either you're going to be a person used by God to present peace, or you're going to be working for the devil. There's no gray area in this. And we got to understand that we have to get off the sideline and realize that every day we are on the field. Whether you're in the game or doing anything or not, you're still in the game. There's a kid that was in the game today when we played basketball, and, you know, when they first used to come out there, they were just standing around. I got five players on the court. One would just stand around. When the ball comes, I call him Ducker. When the ball comes or somebody come at him, he's always ducking. Is he in the game?
He's in the game.
He's in the game. But he's not playing. That's a lot of us that's in Christ. We are on the court, but we're not doing what we're called to do. Then I got another boy. His name is Cameron. He'll dribble one against five. He'll take it and do everything he needs to do to try to get that ball in the basket. He comes prepared to play. He comes to prepare to try his best. You have to wake up every morning wanting to present peace, because peace is a part of your armor. It protects the feet that you go, the steps where you're going. It protects your future. Do you understand that? It protects the job where you at. It protects your home. It's no more about you allowing the gospel to come to you. You take the gospel to everybody else. We for so long inside church, just sat inside church and said they'll come to church to get healing. With this whole armor, he's telling you that you have to walk and go do it. Y'all want to know the scripture that backs this up? Matthew, the 16th chapter. Go there, 16:8. Let's go 16:17.
Matthew 16:17.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona,
Hallelujah.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Hold on, what it says? The gates of what?
Hell.
Shall not what?
Prevail against it.
In other words, what he's trying to say, that hell gates will not stop you from what? Hold on. He didn't say the devil in hell will not prevail against you. He said the walls that on the doorway of the enemy's camp cannot stop you from going in there and winning battles. Hold up. What he's trying to tell you is simply this. You have to take the fight to the enemy. What this does is, when you have the gospel of peace, it gives you the ability to walk and to tread and to take the fight to the enemy and stop running, stop sitting there and letting them destroy your life. How do I take the fight to the enemy? Do I go plead the blood, scream, yell, shout, slobber out the mouth? Do I jump up and down? It's the gospel of what? Do y'all understand that if he's the author of confusion, he cannot stand. You want to know the weapon that you use with these things right here is everywhere you go. The scripture said, wherever you put your feet is what? Holy ground. If you proclaim peace, I put peace in my home, put peace on my job, peace in my car, peace at the church. But the problem we have is that when you try to present peace, you always is challenged with an adversity that will cause you to get what? Upset. You will have a choice. Do I argue, fuss, curse, or do I continue on to take and present peace? There will be a kink in your armor if you don't constantly, every day, present peace. It's got to become second nature to you. That's why you will never be good. You will never be gentle. You will never be meek unless you learn how to present peace. It's not about causing havoc. It's not about you getting your way. It's not about you arguing about everything. It's not even about you standing up for God. He don't need you standing up for him. Only thing he asking us to do is to present peace. That's our job. Well, they done said this. They don't know who I am. Well, evidently, if they came at you, they know exactly who you are. There's a Muslim girl about 22 years old, 22 or 23. She may be a little bit older. She graduated from University of Maryland. And let me express something to everybody here. And this young lady, her name is, and this is what I call it, ready? Miss Margaret. And when I first met Miss Margaret, I went to shake hands. She said, oh, no, I don't shake hands. Oh, okay. Miss Margaret wore a dashiki that covers herself constantly. We took a company picture. Miss Margaret wasn't in the company picture. Miss Margaret, if there's too many guys in a room, would get up and go to another room. Y'all want to know why I call her Miss Margaret? Respect. I have never seen nobody go out their way to disrespect this woman. Because all the time we've been around her, she has never disrespected anybody. Young girl. So age does not require respect. It's how you present yourself. And what he's trying to say is, if you're a peacemaker, constantly giving peace, you will automatically get peace back and respect back. Our problem is we just so nasty all the time. But yeah, we want everybody to be friendly back. I was in a place, and some of the worst places to be is with mean, nasty women that's got an attitude about everything. And it's one of the funkiest things, because you ever been in a place where a woman, I'll tell you, I get my feet done one day. Because men, I'm going to tell you, if you ain't never got your feet done, you need to get your feet done. Love, you know I got mama feet, so I ain't got no other option. I got some crusty, rusty Robinson feet. Trust me. You got them? Your daddy had them, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't got my daddy.
Yeah. No, tell them, ain't they bad? There. And only way I can survive if I get them done. So don't be judging me. But there was a woman up in the place one day, and the woman was. I wanted to walk up to her and just slap her. Just slap her. And the reason why is because I think the women that does them is very nice. They're very respectful. But just because they Asian, they don't talk. This woman was talking down to her like she was a doll. But yet, you just getting something done, and you ain't even really tipping. And you got an attitude, and you want them to be so perfect on you. I'm looking at you like, you're only paying $20, and you act like you're paying $1 million like somebody. And so you just got this nasty, funky attitude, mad about everything. Can't stand folks that's mad about everything. But yet you want everybody to treat you very well. It don't work like that. I was inside D.C. one day. So this is for the ladies. A guy at the car wash, $22, paid for a full service car wash. And I've been in that place many times down at Martin Luther King, Mr. King Car Wash. Best car wash I've ever been to. They go through everything, do all your wheels and stuff. This brother come out of your head, car was okay. It was nothing to write home to mom about. He thought he had a $200,000 car. You missed the bot, huh? You ain't get this, huh? You ain't wipe around here. Dude, the guys wouldn't even finish that. But they treated the people like they was so beneath them that the young guys, the Hispanic guys, were like, whatever. I seen them all leave. His car was on my car. And he got mad. But what was he pulling off? What was he doing to them? He was disrespecting them, yelling and screaming like they were little kids. They may be Hispanic, but they are people. The way we present ourselves determines how far we walk. Amen? Next one, come on.
Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith.
Listen what he said. Above all what?
Taking the shield of faith.
The shield of faith is the only other defense mechanism on the armor that is better when it's moving. This is the one that you truly have total control over. The armor, the breastplate of righteousness stands still. It goes where you go. Righteousness, your righteousness goes, God's righteousness go. The shield of faith is a moving thing. It's always moving. And you have to be skillful with how to use it. It is not an offensive weapon. It's a protection weapon. You understand? It's not me to stab anybody with, but if they come at you, you can move it and protect yourself in areas where you are weak in. In other words, you can take and divert the attack away from where you know that you are vulnerable and don't have full protection. So if one of these are not there, this can substitute from where you are lacking in the armor. Are you with me? Faith is the most important substance that we have in the body of Christ outside. Actually, I'm going to have to take it back because grace is not something that we have. Grace is something that's given to us. So faith is the most important substance that we have or we generate inside the body of Christ. Salvation is given to us. We can't generate that. But faith is something that's got to be, you have to train how to use, and it's always got to be moving. You need to practice with faith. The shield of faith shields and wards off the enemy. And when they see it, they try to get around it. So all you have to do is just move it where the enemy is coming. It's an easy weapon of defense to use, a defensive weapon to use, because all you have to do is just look for the attack and place it where you think that they're going to try to attack you at. And they normally will try to attack you where you are vulnerable at or where you got a kink or a hole in your armor. So faith is put there. It just stops and bounces off of it. So the beautiful part about it is this mechanism that God has given you is actually, y'all ready for this? Actually moves or motivates off of this one, the girdle of truth. Because when you're honest with yourself or where you're weak at, this works better.
And take the helmet of salvation.
That's it. The next one is the helmet of salvation. The helmet is the only purpose that it has is to protect the mind or the brain from trauma. Where do the devil like to function and move at?
In the mind.
There you go. Where is the battlefield at?
In the mind.
There you go. So what he's trying to tell you, all you have to do in order to be successful when the devil come at you is to know about. That's it. Y'all ready for this? I always thought when they talk about the helmet of salvation, it was only talking about me. But if it was only about me, then he'll still keep on attacking me at it. But the helmet of salvation, where we lose that, is simply this. I have to remind myself that I'm saved and know what salvation is about. And also, I have to remind the devil that he can't get to me because I got protection. And third, I have to remind the devil that he don't have salvation. He don't have a helmet on. So you going after me, I have protection. You don't have protection. Because there's a reason why he does not go after this when you have this on. Because he can't get to you and cause you to have head trauma, concussions, short-term memory loss. So you have to learn how to put on the helmet of salvation that your mind would know that you are saved. How many of y'all really, and I say this all the time, how many of you know that you're saved? Raise your hand. Let me stop that. When somebody asks you, you know that you say you should, your hand should go up so quickly that it beats you saying, mm-hmm. Seriously. Let me express to you, if you don't know that you are saved and you don't have a helmet on, eventually you're going to receive head trauma, amnesia, and you forget who you are. Now, what is the biggest problem do you have from folks inside church? They trying to determine whether you saved or not. I mean, I can't stand when people try to tell me about my relationship with God. How many of y'all like that? I'm growing up inside church, they questioning whether I'm saved or not. We ain't got nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't tell folks when they open your business about whether you saved or not. You ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm carrying this helmet on my head. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm going to mess up, and I may not be look like I'm saved today, but I am saved. If you don't know that, then you start questioning, and you when you start hearing, let me show you something. One thing I love about this, where is the earpieces in the helmet? Do y'all know none of the helmet has earpieces in it? They only had enough so you can see. And even that, some of them had guards on them or bars on them. The reason why is that he chooses not to have it because we listen to too many people and you got to know you're saved. You got to know you're saved. One thing don't stop you from being saved because of this. Do you know the helmet of salvation ties into the breastplate? Most of them, they had hooks and buttons on them that they became one. The helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness work so hand in hand together. When you know you're in right standing, you can speak about your salvation. You can tell the devil, I am saved. You can't tell me I'm saved. You can tell your wives, I'm saved. You can tell your husband, I'm saved. And you can't come put that mess up in me. All right?
And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
You know, the incredible part about it, this is the only offensive weapon that you have. This is a defense. This is an offense. You got me? This is defense. Faith is defense. The word of God is offense. The sword. The word of God. The sword. When the Israelite came over and captured Jericho, the scripture said that the walls came tumbling down with the loud screams or the praises. Now, once the walls was down, they still had to kill everybody with the sword. The sword is simply this, you knowing this word of God for yourself. It's the only weapon that you have that is used as an offense weapon. And if you don't know the word, you can't come back. Can't come back, excuse me, the enemy when he comes. Go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to show you what happens when he came to the devil, came to Jesus Christ in the mind, and how he went back at the devil and what he went back with the devil with.
Matthew 4:1.
Yep.
Then Jesus led up the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread."
Okay. I want y'all to, somebody paint this picture for me. He was led up into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And here it is. The tempter came. How did the tempter come? In his mind. Questioning what? Who he was, his salvation, whether he's saved. If thou be the Son of God, we are questioning more and more about the devil. If you're righteous, if God called you to do this, if that's your purpose, and it's always, how did he battle him? Read on.
But he answered and said, "It is written."
What was written?
The word.
The offensive weapon that he uses was what? If he didn't know the word, that's why when it comes messing with you in your mind, you can't destroy him because you do not know. Got to know the word for yourself. You got to be a master in the word. You got to be one of the best samurai swordsmen it is out there. You have to practice with the word. None of y'all ever practice the word? You practice the word? That's why we're doing this. Do y'all know that's why we're doing this? If you don't know anything else, you'll know a page full of words inside this church, because we say it so much that I guarantee you that if it was push come to shove, probably half of y'all in here can recite over half of this. You may mess up a word here and there, and I bet you sometime you'll say some of this stuff when some things come out, you find yourself going to another line. You're like, oh, okay. And I guarantee you by the end of the year, all of y'all in here will be able to say it word for word. It amazes me because some of us are afraid to use the word, and which is good because the word can be sharp and you can cut yourself. And it's always good to be afraid of a weapon. It is. But practice makes. So what you do, you go find words for your situation. Tell everybody, the best thing you can do, go inside it and Google. I love Google. Google, I got mad because they had some search engine came up called Snapadoo, and I was hot. I'm like, what in the world? I like Google, because you can Google something, and you can say, you can Google a word, and you can put Bible, and you can Google something, a word, and it will bring you to different verses, different that in the Bible where this word comes up, or this topic is, or people that preach sermons, that preach sermons about certain things. And you can always, so there's a no excuse clause for you not knowing how a word, for how to deliver word or any word for your situation. There's no excuses right now. Because if we do not know how to use this, we cannot stand. Y'all ready for this? I told God, I said, if I'm using this always, I'm not standing, I'm fighting. You know what he told me? He said, I never told nobody to use it. I just told them to know how to use it. You don't think the devil watching you practice? Have you ever seen somebody that you knew know what they're doing and you didn't even want to go mess with them? My brother Ronnie really haven't got into a fight with karate. But trust me, when people know that he's a master in karate, they, nah, that's all right. Why? Because fear come on them. The more you know the word of God, you don't have to go on the offense. When the devil know you know this, he don't even mess with you. Why am I going to mess with a fifth degree black belt when I know that I can't win? He ain't that stupid, y'all. That's why you got to come to Wednesday night. You got to go to Sunday morning. You got to go to Bible study. You got to read the word for yourself. The more he sees you in the word, the more he get afraid of you. The more you ask questions about the word, the more afraid he becomes of you. The more you hang around with samurai kings and know how to use that sword very well, the more he's afraid of you. Amen? Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you for all you said and done. We ask you to watch over, lead us, and guide us through all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.